Blog Talk Radio.
So those faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil says, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends. Don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with Him and slept with Him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by Him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the Word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the Word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the Word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what He's talking about. It isn't just hearing the Word's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the Word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the Word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the King comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God, people, glory!
All right, glory to the King. Can you all hear me now? Can anybody hear me? Hallelujah. Can anybody hear me? All right, that worked. I don't know what's going on. Milton, I'm going to have to use the Polycom tonight, so that's what we're going to do. Everybody's letting me know that I'm being heard, so glory to the King. All right, glory, glory, glory. Boy, last time I had to fight to get on, this time I had to fight to get on. I don't know, maybe it's some type of disconnect. I don't know, glory to the King. Satan is a liar. That's right, brethren, Satan is a liar. Hey, appreciate the audio check and everybody's patience and hanging in there. Now I have to kind of reorganize my desk here. But anyway, all right, Shalom. I think we're ready to go, ready to roll. Hey, I hope you all doing well. This is Elder Douglas Becker hosting tonight's segment, brother segment of Blog Talk Radio. I truly do hope that you all are encouraged, that you had a good day, looking forward to a good week, preparing your hearts for the Passover, the Most High. All right, somebody said the volume is low. I don't know. Let me turn it up here. So I hope that helps. I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing, but we'll try to make it work. So, boy, has that thing got static. Anyway, I hope that's it for the distractions. Anyway, I hope you all had a great first day. I know you definitely loved the Shabbat message yesterday, as true Israelites indeed do. Especially when we have a true man of Yah, Pastor Dow, Charles Dow, before us, and Yah's mercy expounding us in his word, doing what he knows that to be done for our hearing, for our edification, and for our complete conversion, our complete and oneness in him. And I am particularly thankful. Hallelujah. Yes, the dead season is past. We're into a new year, new season, and we thank Yah that we are still here, accounted worthy to what this year ahead of us has to hold. And of course, you can see by the atmosphere what's going on in the world, the circumstances, things are not going to get any better. I still believe it sincerely what Pastor said when he asked the question, what do you all believe is the next empire coming in? And when he said it's the empire, the kingdom of the Antichrist, I wholeheartedly agree, because definitely can see it. Hey, a few quick announcements, at least some I made up here quick while I was sitting here, is that, of course, you know, the Passover is going to be coming here, and I'm sure people are doing their due diligence to get prepared, that those are going to be attending, those are going to be gathering with us for Yah's Holy Feast. As Pastor Dow says every year, please do what you need to do to get your immune systems functioning properly and, you know, strong. Tennessee, this time of the year, it can be fairly unpredictable as far as weather patterns go. We can have copious amounts of rains, we can have warm sunshine, we can have freezing temperatures, so, you know, your bodies need to prepare to handle the elements. And, of course, more importantly, that you're spiritually ready in your heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. I'm getting beautiful reports of brothers and sisters that have been reaching out to each other, knowing the seriousness of this time. You know, it's unfortunate. It's fortunate, but unfortunate that, you know, it takes this kind of, you know, awakening that we're coming into something so serious as Yah's Feast of the Passover, when he lays out the repercussions for not coming here genuinely repentant and cleared in your heart. But it is encouraging to hear the brothers and sisters, making things right. And taking serious Yah's Holy Feast Day. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm just asking, I know this message is not going to get around to everybody, to a few, but those that hear, those that will be attending, we appreciate your cooperation ahead of time. We're expecting a very large gathering this time. The last number was, I think, 860 that Pastor had quoted the other night on Blog Talk, or was it Shabbat service? I kind of get them mixed up with all the information, but that's a lot of people. And Straightway, like every time, is you know, done all that we can do and more so. We definitely put both feet forward and strive to go the 2 miles to make sure the saints are taken care of and things run smoothly, but it helps with a great amount of cooperation from everybody, being respectful of what's going on, what's been posted. You know, even it comes down to the parking sign, putting your name on the helps list, all these kind of things help us immensely. And it shows you true love and desire to your brothers and sisters and, more importantly, to the Most High. I also want to thank publicly Brother Yashar, Brother Rob Lampkin up in D.C., for the award that I was extended by him in the DMV meeting. Very appreciative. It is grateful to be appreciative, so I'm very thankful for that. And to you all that are joining me live tonight, good to see your names on here and for tuning in. So we have it's not a long show, but it looks like it's going to go well over the hour. I try to keep it to a certain time limit, but it is what it is, okay? But tonight we're going to talk about the predator spirit, and what I mean by this is that in light of, you know, things that have been happening ever since I've been here in the mystery, and more so been magnified lately, and in light of especially what was brought out in the Sisters to Sisters blog talk episode, you know, between Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer here a couple weeks ago, about it was actually disturbing to hear the amount of encounters that had taken place between men going to other sisters and approaching them. And it's really kind of disturbing, especially knowing the protocol and how much we talk about men being in their places, the sisters being in their places, brothers being in their places, and this stuff still happens. But hey, it's Israel, and we see the course of the history of our people. Things have to be repeated and reminded over and over and over again, because unfortunately, some people just don't take heed to it, don't give a concern about it, care. But obviously, in this ministry, if you haven't figured it by now, the ones that have been here for a few years definitely, I believe, know or should know, and those that are coming in and a quick taste of it, we're very serious-minded people, very dedicated to the service of the Most High. We don't play around with Yah's word, and we're not going to allow anybody else to play around with his word either and try to undo what Yah has built here. We're not going to allow that. So, yes, we're very serious, and I'm grateful for it, because this is true Israel. But in speaking about this spirit tonight, and of course, like I said, in light of things that I've witnessed and personally been experienced through my 20-plus years in the ministry, and on top of what the sisters said, which again was very, like, what in the world? You know, brothers going to sisters, married women, single women. It's like, what in the world? And then we have, sisters trying to educate sisters when they shouldn't be speaking about anything. But the Bible talks about, and what do I mean by a predator spirit or the predator spirit? What I'm talking about is the Bible gives us a clear illustration when it's using men or women of dishonorable stature, men and women that are seeking to get gain or establish their own righteousness and a whole host of other things. It uses symbology. It depicts, like, we're going to talk about many of these scriptures tonight, like wolves, all right? Well, a wolf is a predator. It has certain tactics and characteristics that it carries out, and it's no accident that the word talks about it aligns the people with this nature and this character into the symbology, the wording of a particular animal that are predators. We have, like I said, we know about the wolves. We know about lions. That can be depicted in the place of a predator for the injury, the harm, for evil intents. Let me put it that way. We have the mention of tigers in the word. We have mention of bears, birds of prey. These are all animals of these are all predators. They have a design in nature. You know, first by nature, that which we understand and can see, and then more so spiritually, a lot of times, which goes undetected until the Most High awakens us to this, or we see it because of the soberness and the watchfulness and prayer. So, you know, what are the characteristics and tactics of a predator? I've been hunting 40-some years. I have got to witness firsthand the interaction in the wild of a predator and prey and how they approach it, how these predators, you know, tactfully and instinctively and carefully take down the prey. And they have a purpose and a goal in mind in doing this. And of course, it's for their preservation in nature, but more so spiritually, it has deeper implications to it. So, you know, a lot of the characteristics and tactics of a predator, well, how do they operate? What are their main objectives? Predators are hunters. They are calculating. They are opportunists. They look for openings. They target and stalk their intended victims. They use stealth and stealth-like approach to gain the advantage. They are complete survivalists, which are incredibly selfish and self-serving. It's all about them. It's all about their natural desire, their natural instinct, because they're acting after the carnality I'm talking about in the human spirit, about survival, right? Self-serving, selfish, doesn't care what destruction it leaves in its wake. They use intimidation. Now, this is also talking naturally, too. I mean, if you've watched some of these animal programs, and if you can equate it to your mind how these predators actually attack their targets. They desire to have you in submission. They use manipulation to achieve their goals, and I'm talking more of the human aspect of it now. They are generally not territory. They are wide-ranging. Their instinct is to injure and to maim, to harm and to cause hurt, to consume and conquer. And this is in a great variety of different areas. It can be, and we're going to cover some of them, not in great detail because it's so broad, but you know, we already, like the sisters already spoke about on the Blog Talk program, Sister Ash and Mother Jennifer, about brothers approaching sisters. We had an instance happen here that was very disheartening to even hear about. You have a situation with brethren, you know, feeling out sisters over the internet, that kind of thing. I mean, this aspect of this predator spirit is out there, and it has one hidden agenda, not even hidden, it has a main objective, and that's to conquer and get gain. So I'm going to read you a little bit of a list here that I came up with. And this is more for the human spiritual aspect, not the animal so much, but the actual human walking in this type of mentality, this predator spirit. The predators we face come in a human form. They speak, they express, they write, they look to convey themselves any way they possibly can. Predators, like I said, stalk their prey. They look for easier targets, as it's easier to subdue and overtake weak targets versus those that are stronger and much wiser. Those who operate in a predator spirit will often cause others around them to feel very uncomfortable, very un-at-ease, walking on eggshells type of sort of thing. Such as would be the instance, say, if you've ever seen the Mutual of Oklahoma's Wild Kingdom, that's old school, that's back in the 60s, but these animal programs with the National Geographic, and if you watch a bunch of lions stalking a herd of elk, you can see that naturally they're very uncomfortable. They're instinctively, something is not right, they're uncomfortable, they're again, on eggshells, they can feel something, they know something, they just are not sure what to do at that present time. Predators hunt as a single entity, or they will hunt in packs or groups, and we understand that in the natural, but when you talk about in the spiritual, is that you have certain people that have this aspect of this predator spirit will go out, and the reason they go out and try to consume others through that type of spirit is to gain strength by bringing people into, let's say, their grouping, all right? Because that's what a wolf has a grouping, lions have groupings. That's how they get more success done, and they're more formidable, and they have more credibility when they're in larger groups. I hope I'm making sense. Predators seek to cause confusion and disorder, second-guessing and doubt amongst the people that they're interacting with. This spirit rarely, if ever, shows demonstrations of the genuine Ruach working in or through them, leading many to question whether those who have this wicked spirit even have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This spirit shows itself to be learned, can show itself to be learned, studied, a student of the Word, oftentimes reciting a resume of sorts of all reasons that it has the authority to speak. And I have dealt with this aspect of this thing so many times over the years. People tout, they list off all the reasons in the world that you need to listen to them and to gain advantage, to gain your submission, to gain your ear. It is selfish beyond measure. Self-centered, does not care one bit about the souls of the others. It's all about me, that selfish aspect. It's going to pounce on somebody, some way, shape, or form. The spirit looks to make a place for itself, a position, title, influence. The spirit is heavily focused on getting gain through many forms, such as notoriety, recognition, even favors, money, whatever advantage it can get. The spirit will often resort to flattery to gain access to your ears. It'll approach you one way and say, hey, you know, hey, I really like what you did there. And hey, sister, you know, man, you really do good job with this, that, or the other thing. But let me tell you what I have to say and become all of a sudden instant experts. Now, am I saying, just to make this clear, not every time you see something like this happens, it doesn't necessarily mean somebody is walking this type of attitude or spirit. They may be sincere, but others do actually purpose in their heart because they believe themselves to be something, and they want to take advantage of the weak or as many people as they can get. This spirit often opens up dialogue with, this is just my opinion, the introduction. It's ready to pounce. It has to get your attention, though. But they use these words as grounds to impart their doctrines under the guise of just an opinion, when all the other while these opinions are their true doctrines. And what I mean by that, well, hey, brother, I heard something or I read something, you know, and you'd mind if I share with you, it's just my opinion. And so you're thinking, by doing this, they're taking away from the fact that they're not disparaging against what the ministry teaches or imparts to the saints, to those that have been established in leadership to speak, but they're there to, in a veiled attack, to plant seeds and falsehoods in your mind. This spirit invites debate to give it a place to speak and accomplish its desire to spread its false narrative. It's actually looking for a platform. And if that even means some type of discord or shouting match, it needs the people to hear. It might get one or two, but it needs something to be able to spread what it needs to say. This spirit wants to keep you at a disadvantage and will use whatever tactics it has at its disposal to keep that position of a superiority. This spirit is quite often the epicenter of discord among the brethren as it seeks to challenge the interpretations of the Word of Yah. The spirit can be very religious, implicating the Father. A lot of people that say Father this, Father that, and Yahweh into many things they receive in their minds and declare from their mouths. You know, again, the Father said this, the Father said that, Yahweh told me so that. This is only a subtle way to gain spiritual authority over others when no place of authority has been given, and it can be infectious to those who stay in close proximity with those who operate under this religious spirit. It's all there to take you by surprise. All this spirit wants is an ear. That is true. It just wants attention. This spirit often will employ great varieties of body language, which I never thought about until I was actually researching, studying for this blog talk. Even after more correction, reproof, and rebuke, this spirit will still continue on with its attack because it's a spiritual condition that is in this brother, this sister. This spirit has no fear of adding to or taking away from the word of Yah, and that's demonstrated in the myriad of false doctrines and false opinions and ideologies that exist. Even in this ministry, there's some that are floating around. Predator spirits have a familiar nature with one another and use each other as sounding boards in opinion panels to test their newfound theories and revelations. I mean, Pastor Dahl has been saying it for years, and I'm an actual witness that we don't sit around and bat scriptures. There's a reason for that. First of all, we got too much to do out there. 6 days shall you labor. We got too much. But we also know a lot of times this ends in nothing but an opinion fest. And I'm the one that's right. And you're going to listen to me because I know what I'm talking about. But there's others that actually are looking, that are compadre, that have that familiar spirit, that are attracted to this type of newfound revelations. And again, this is all about gaining strength. Because in many instances, this spirit does not have recognized ordained authority, it must use other approaches to gain others' ears, such as longevity in the body. So what I'm saying is, you would expect that somebody has been a part of Straightway for, 5 years, 8, 10 years, 15, 20 years, whatever it may be, that they're accepted, and you may have never heard anything false said about them. Not false, I mean negative said about, or brought up some type of situation that they've been involved with. But still, you need to be prayed up and sober and watching. You need to listen to and keep in your heart and mind the things that Yah has given to the men of Yah to speak to the body here, and that'll safeguard you. And they go about to establish their own righteousness. So with that, we're going to jump into it again. Thank you again ahead of time, Brother Ugly. Glad to have you back. I know last time you couldn't be with us, and Brother Sean and the House of Little did a really good job of substituting on short notice because we had some technical difficulties last time. So anyway, glad to have you back. We're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. All right, and Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Here we got a symbology. We have a figure used to show who Satan is, what his character is. As a roaring lion, which is a predator, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, describing the nature of that predator. His intent is to devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith? Well, you can only that's the direction you need to do, to resist this predator seeking whom he may devour, knowing and understanding what the faith of the Most High is, remembering what's been told to you, what's been preached, what's been taught by your own reading and study, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. This is the very nature and character of Satan, to devour. The lion is at the top of the food predator chain. It carries a symbology of dominance and mastery. It is no wonder Peter emphasizes that we must be sober and vigilant, as this predator Satan, as described in this, will seek to gain any advantage over us to consume and destroy and make a bitter end. And I'm not talking Satan as a spirit. I'm talking he works through men. He works through people. And I'll say this right now. That's why we say so many times in the ministry here, if Yah brings you to Straightway, he brought you here for a reason, and that isn't to sit there and consume what's being put out on other tables, because these men and these women that are out here are seeking to take advantage of you, to devour you, to bring you over to their side of beliefs. And consume and to make a bitter end of us. Okay, the word devour in 1 Peter, as used in 1 Peter 5:8, this is in the Thayer definition. It's the Greek 2666, katapino. It means simply to drink down, to swallow down as consumption, to inhale the whole thing, to devour, to swallow up, to destroy. So the end of the devouring is simply destruction. That's what the intent of Satan is. That's the intent of anybody that's actually operating in that predator spirit is for destruction. I'm talking spiritual destruction, right? For your spiritual end. I'm not talking physically. We're talking spiritually here. All right, going to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 10, 7 through 10. John, chapter 10, 7 through 10. And John has to say, then said Yeshua unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So right away, Yeshua is making known to the people that he spoke to in that day and time, and to the people he knew would read this generations after, that he is the door. He is the one that opens to the safety. He is the one that is going to keep you when you enter into that door. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Reminding again what was there prior to him actually putting this out here, making this known, highlighting this. But the sheep did not hear them. So even before Yeshua came on the scene, he's recounting in the history of Israel that there were thieves and robbers there. But the sheep, the true, the ones that really heard the voice of the Most High, would not hear them. There was a character, a quality about them that didn't allow them, because they trusted in the one that they knew that bought them, that saved them, that brought them the knowledge of the real truth. Now, thieves and robbers are predators which prey on those who are lax in sobriety and alertness. Why do some of now give place to thieves? Why do some of you now give place to thieves and robbers? Those looking to steal from us anything they can through falsehood and lies and misrepresentations. Why do we allow ourselves to hear some of those things when the admonition tells us that sheep are not supposed to give ear to thieves and robbers? The thieves and robbers are the ones that are bringing in the falsehoods, the ones that are trying to lead you away from the truth that remains in the Most High and Him alone. That's what they're trying to devour you. Why do those who say they are of Israel willingly will hear and entertain alternative doctrines and ideologies from others that clearly oppose what the ministry of straightway preach and teach? What is wrong with your spirit to allow these things to freely come into your ears? Are you under a familiar spirit? Is it something that you actually enjoy doing yourself? So you want to hear all these things that would tickle your ears. You have to ask yourself if you're one of these that are hearing this. And it's for your edification. It's for a way for you to help to escape the snare of the fowler. Verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find a pasture. Again, this is our safety. But Jesus finishes up by saying, the thief cometh not but for to this predator, this thief, Satan, those working in the same attitude, the same care, under the unction of this predator spirit, comes not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's the end, to take advantage of you. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. All right, Acts chapter 20, verse 28. 28 through 31. Acts chapter 20, 28 through 31. And this is Paul. He's admonishing the saints of the Most High. He's admonishing the assembly. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. All right, I'm trying to wake your conscience. I'm trying to get your attention. I want you to take heed. So listen about what I'm about to tell you. And to all the flock, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of Yah. And this not only is those that are placed in the leadership positions, such as the pastors, the elders, the deacons, the teachers, but it's also the priests, your own, the husbands. It's the Ishaias, the wives that are over the children. You've all had a certain degree of overseeing, right? So take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. and all the flock. It could all your family, whatever the case may be, to feed the church of Yah, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this. Paul was certain of this. Paul must have known something about the character of Satan, the character of man. He knew what men's desires were, where their hearts were at, what they inspired to, and not for righteousness. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. This is a predator. A wolf is a predator. A grievous wolf shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock. It has an agenda. It's not going to go in there like a wolf you see in the natural, where there's bloodshed and mayhem and it kills. They'll even do that, just kill to kill, and they won't even eat it. I mean, a lot of the predators in the predator kingdom just kill. I mean, I've seen them when we had chickens. You can get a possum in there. They'll go around and bite the heads off of chickens or just bite them in the neck and kill them and not do nothing with them, just to kill. But again, we have another demonstration of what the Bible is talking about using an animal, which is a predator, what it will do to the unsuspecting flock or the sheep. Not sparing the flock, it's not going to be any holdback. It's going to do that which is in its nature, in that predator spirit. Also of your own selves shall men arise. What are they going to do? How are these grievous wolves going to not spare the flock? What devices or avenues or tactics are they going to use for their approach, their stealth approach, their stalking, to figure out a way to not spare the flock? They're going to speaking perverse things to do what? There's an end here, to draw away disciples after them. So Paul is again alluding to a wolf, talking about men. They're going to come in with speaking perverse things, totally contrary to the things that you've learned, the true righteous things of Yah, through those that have been put in position to teach you, to draw away disciples after them, because they need that strength to actually boast themselves to be something. This is all an agenda by those operating in this predator type of mindset. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, this was so grievous to Paul. 3 years, I cease not to warn you every night and day with tears. I mean, it was so in his soul to make the people of Yah be so aware of this, but it caused him this type of grief. Just listen, please know that this isn't a light thing. These people are out for your souls. Yeah, again, Jesus, Paul alludes later on, they can present themselves as angels of light. This is how deceptive they are. This is how sneaky. You've heard the term a wolf in sheep's clothing. They come to you in that manner, this predator spirit. They look like they are innocent among you. They look like they have your best intentions in mind, that they don't mean any harm, but they're actually there to devour you, take advantage of you, get gain of you. Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through, 6 through 11. Again, these are all going to be examples of those that are walking underneath this type of predator spirit. And their actions speak louder than words. You can see what they're doing. I mean, their words speak too of themselves, but you can see by their footsteps what their intent is just by reading what has been given us for our learning. Acts 13, starting at verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet. Okay, so we're identifying a character. He's a false prophet. He's a sorcerer. A Jew, a Yehudim. This man is of Israel. He is accounted of the chosen, of Yah's seed, of the seed of Abraham, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Again, this was a man of Israel. This wasn't from another nation where automatically it's like we're not going to allow ourselves to listen to him because we can't be influenced by that because we only seek with that which was in Israel. This man was an Israelite. You know, you beware of that which is within, not that which is without. Which was the deputy of the country, Sergio Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul. So Sergio Paulus wanted to hear the word of the Most High. Yah was probably dealing with this man's heart, and this Bar-Jesus, who we're going to find out is Elymas, had a close acquaintance with Sergio Paulus. I don't know what capacity, maybe as a servant or a helper or whatever in his office, but he's getting ear of all this stuff, right? So there's an intent behind Elymas, this sorcerer, this predator, looking for an opportunity to move somebody out of the way, to stop them from hearing the true word of Yah and to listen to what they have to say. A prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of Yah. So he's got Yah's open this man's understanding. I want to hear more about this thing. I'm excited, right? So he summons Barnabas and Saul. But Elymas, a sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, Bar Jesus, his name by interpretation is Elymas, a sorcerer, withstood them. Doing what? Seeking. What a verb. He's seeking. Seeking to a purposeful intent and a drive, a determination to do what? To turn away the deputy from the faith. He had a motivation there. There was something in him pressing him, pushing him for who knows what. Again, the story doesn't really say everything that's going on here, but what's ever going on in this man that has carrying the predator spirit, that being Elymas, he had an end game, an agenda, why he needed to do this. And he was being used as a tool of Satan. But his determination, his seeking was to turn away the deputy from the faith. Not even anything that may have entered in or was about to enter in, not to allow it to enter in, to put up a door of doubt, unbelief, whatever it may be, coming in, confusion, everything else. So by divining lies and falsehoods and spitting ears of the deputy, let me ask you all, have any of you ever had the experience of others coming up to you and offering their, quote, own private interpretation of what was just presented by someone who has been given the place in this ministry to speak to the people? You may be dealing with a predator spirit, and you would do yourself a favor and remove yourself from them. And what I mean by that is simply because the word of Yah is preached. Pastor Dollop here delivers a booming message, right? Beautiful. It resonates with you. You're so thrilled to have been fed that kind of meal. And then you get off to the side somewhere and you got a sister come up to it. You have a brother come up. Hey, man, that was a great word, wasn't it? Man, I'll tell you what, Pastor brought that out so well, or one of the elders did, or Teacher Eric, Teacher Shane, but man, I got to tell you, boy, have you ever considered this about it? Have you ever thought about this about it? And they'll start adding to, why they're adding to, they're actually taking away, that's what was said. So you have to be that careful. That's how subtle this predator spirit is. It's looking for a place to promote its own self, to conquer you. Is what it's doing. And I've had that happen to me, and I'm like, brother, I'm fine with what was just said. Brother, I'm going to stick. That was enough for me. I mean, if you're supposed to be up there preaching, then Yah would put you up there to teach the people, but you ain't up there, so I ain't giving you no place. I'll be that flat-out rude in a second, because I'll tell you what, people that are truly striving to be in the kingdom, to be complete in the Most High, you need to have a vengeance for your soul. You need to have a downright personal vengeance and vendetta against those that would seek to overthrow your soul. You really should. You need to have that kind of mindset. And again, it's not when somebody approaches you in any way, shape, or form trying to introduce other things, any ideas, it can be doctrine, it can be ideology, it can be theory, conjecture, what they read in a book, anything. You need to be sober and considering what's going on. If you get the least inkling that this is contrary to what's being presented, that you know is coming from the voice of truth, what Yah is feeding to those he's placed and ordained, put in positions to preach to the people for the edification, you do yourself a favor I forget what the military term, but get the hell out of there. Don't worry about hurting nobody's feelings. Don't worry about your safeguarding you and those that may be of your house from allowing, because once these seeds get placed and start, they may sprout up 20 years from now. They may sprout up 10 years from now. The fact is they're laying in the dormant in the dirt looking for the opportunity, and you may hear something down the road and it's like, wait a minute, didn't so-and-so say that years ago? My God, that sister said that. Boy, this kind of makes sense now. All of a sudden, it's starting to lead you away. It doesn't have to be instant. This is how subtle Satan is. He's setting out to kill, steal, and destroy, to conquer you, to consume you. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with he had the Holy Spirit. He had the Ruach HaKodesh. He could tell, he could discern by the Spirit of Yahweh that this man that called himself an Israelite was seeking to overthrow the faith of the deputy, the one Yah is opening understanding to. And because he had the Holy Spirit, that quickening, the Holy Spirit which leads and guides you into all truth, set his eyes on him, meaning Elymas, and said, "Oh, full of subtlety and all mischief." And he called him out exactly what he was. This was an Israelite. Thou child of the devil, somebody working as an advocate of Satan, somebody working as an enemy against the Most High, against his people. Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of Yah? Not cease. You can't stop. It's something you're driven to do. What is that? That's a spiritual condition. There's something, that predator spirit that is enlarged in these. The word subtly here, or subtle, in Acts 13:10 is the Greek 1388, dolos. It means to trick. That is to bait. You put something out there, luring somebody in. That is, you know, and there's predators in the wilderness, in the animal kingdom. A lot of insects have this ability. Fish have this. They're predators, but they actually have something built in them that they were created that way, that they can put out a bait. There's a fish that has its tongue comes out, looks like a worm, and when other fish come up there to bite the worm, it chomps on them. So yeah, this is the same thing that Paul, all subtlety, all trickery, to be able to bait people, to draw them in. That is figuratively wild, to wile, craft, deceit, guile, subtlety. So it's a craftiness. It's a predetermined position and how to attack your victim. In verse 11, and now behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell upon him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And we're going to start seeing them days again when stuff is like this going to be called out amongst the assembly, amongst the brethren, even bring a greater fear and appreciation that Yah's not playing anymore. It's got to come to prepare people for the coming of Yahshua. He's going to have a spotless bride. Oh, bless you, Father. Get me choked up. All right, going back into the writings. 1 Kings chapter 21. And Pastor just went over this in the Jezebel series here a few weeks ago. But there's something in here that caught my attention, so I'm going to bring it out, hopefully. So 1 Kings 21, 1 through 23. Stock talking again about the story of Ahab and Jezebel, and there's so much richness in here. So starting at verse 1, and it came to pass after these things, excuse me, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs. So we have somebody that, Ahab, he has an attention. He has an expectation. This is something he wants, and he's going to go about to get it. There's something that's going to push him. You can call it lust. Lust, I think it's deeper than that, because when you read the story, you can see what Ahab was truly up to and how he deceived Jezebel, all right? Because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than that. Now, come on, this is the king of Israel, right? And he could have got a piece of property in where it has herb garden, but he wanted to have this one. And he believed because of his position, he's going to take advantage, and he's going to prey on somebody that's just a serf or a poor man, a common man in his kingdom. Or if it seemed good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. So, you know, if you don't want to just give it to me, all right, I'll just give you something for it, okay? He's still trying to get something. This man's got all the riches of the kingdom, but he's still saying he still wants to just get it, just to have it, because position of authority or notoriety, whatever the case, but he's used to that kind of attention, and he craves that kind of attention. Okay, but if you're just not going to give it to me, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make it worth your while, I'll just give you some money, all right? And Naboth said to Ahab, Yahweh forbidden me that I should give the inheritance of my father. You know, Naboth ain't going to give, this is his, he understands the importance of this inheritance. He was given to it, and he knows what it means to pass this down to his sons and his daughters coming after him. And he's about not, there's no price that's going to be able to make him give that up. Okay, in verse 4, and Ahab came into his house. Now watch how he displayed himself. He was heavy and displeased because of the word, because his expectation, he actually had a belief that this is what he was going to be able to gain by going to Naboth. And displeased because of the word, or being turned by Naboth, which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my father. I'm just not going to do it, not even for a price. I'm a man of principle. I believe the word. I'm going to get something laid up for my children. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. So Ahab is acting a certain way. And I believe reading this, there definitely was intent behind this, clear intent. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was actually displaying a predator type of spirit. But he was making himself look like he was the victim, like people should pay attention to him. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He had a case of, he was butthurt, right? But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? So she's experiencing, she's taking this all in. And you see him acting the way he's acting, lying on his bed, and he is just butthurt, and he's just putting on theatrics like you wouldn't believe. He's setting up Jezebel. Ahab set up Jezebel by showing expressions of sadness and defraudment. This is a tactic of a predator, of sadness and defraudment, and he knew that she would fall prey to his outward expression. He had full intent. Ahab used stealth and cunning to lure Jezebel into doing his bidding, his dirty work. It actually, what he do, he threw his own wife under the bus and was willing to let her take the fall as if he was innocent in this and she was the perpetrator. And we have seen this thing so many times happen in Israel, naturally today, that people behind the scenes are setting somebody else. They introduce them. They keep it quiet. They keep it hidden in the background. They're in their chambers, they're in their homes, doing what they're putting on their display, and they get people's confidence, and then they pour something out to them. And then these people fall away, and the ones that cause it act like they're totally innocent, like they weren't had no part of it. Yeah, that actually happens, and Yah is going to make a serious reckoning of that in the Day of Judgment. And he said unto her, because I, okay, now he's going to start to explain what's going on. Okay, so now I got your attention. Now I've done what I set out to accomplish. Now I'm going to tell you all about this thing because I have my victim in my sights. I'm going to spring the trap. I'm going to capture my prey. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. No, he didn't say that, did he? He never said he would exchange it, or did he? Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. Okay. It was something else, though, that he said. If it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Okay, this is what I was going to talk about. And, you know, it's amazing how Ahab left out a certain crucial detail of the conversation that was had with Naboth when repeating this back to Jezebel. Such as the fact that Naboth was not wanting to break from the inheritance of his family, and that is why he wouldn't sell it or agree to, you know, get rid of it or be released from it to Ahab the king, to let go of it. But as this spirit operated, it has no regard or care for those things which are of great importance to other people. Again, this has happened so many times that you're dealing with people and all they have to do is leave out a few of the very significant parts of a conversation. I dealt with I didn't want to call her sister, a young lady I've spoken to a few times today on the phone. And I'm telling you, I just knew that there's something dirty about this whole conversation. And after further talking with Elder Rufus, I'm like, man, check this out, okay? So we even got greater insight to what's actually going on. But that's for another time. But anyway, so you can see what's going on here. Ahab, in his predator way, he brought in his prey, captured him, got the hook in him, and now he's sprung the trap. So now he's got Jezebel to do his bidding just by simply putting on this act, this countenance. He knew he could subdue her by acting like that. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, "Dost thou not govern the kingdom?" Man, you got to have this because you are the king. "Arise, eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee vineyard of Naboth." And once you believe he's happy now, he knows this wicked wife of his got the ability to actually accomplish this. That's why he used her. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them in with his seal and sent the letters unto elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling in Naboth. With Naboth, excuse me. And she wrote in the letters saying, "Proclaim a fast," and said, "Naboth on high among the people." Here comes the false witnesses. Man, we're going to make this man look like the worst thing that ever lived. And he set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, again, of course, they're going to follow the commandment of Yah out of the mouth of two or more witnesses. It'll be established. "Thou didst blaspheme Yah and the king." I mean, totally bring this thing out a complete false lie. "And then carry him out and stone him that he may die." And the men of the city, even the elders and nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them. And it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. And they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. They put them all before. They wanted everybody to hear what about these falsehoods that were just about to be spoken against him. "And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme Yah and the king. Tactics of the devil time and time and time again." We can see this happening all the way up until the scribes and Pharisees. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Now he's got no more voice. He can't ever speak what really went on. They probably wouldn't believe him because this was sent in the king's stead. "Then they sent to Jezebel saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said unto Ahab, Arise, take possession of thy vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession." You already know the intent, and you can see clearly here up to this point that Ahab had planned this whole thing. He probably acted this all out, knew exactly what Jezebel would do, how he could use her, how he could get her to do his bidding, how he made victim of her. She became his prey who knows how many times. And here, if he was actually genuine in his, how he felt rejected, he would have stood up against her. He would have pronounced this evil, but he didn't. He was glad to get his possession. So he was in league with her. "And the word of Yahweh came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Arise, go down and meet Ahab, the king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, In the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said unto Elijah." So Yah is telling the prophet exactly what to say to Ahab. "And Ahab said to Elijah, Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered." He already knew. I mean, this is how wicked Ahab was. He called the righteous man of Yah his enemy because he knew that he would always be caught and brought out into the open the wickedness he did behind the scenes. But this is the part that I really want to capitalize on, right? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold or merchandised thyself to work evil in the sight of Yahweh. So ask yourself, why wasn't Elijah sent to Jezebel? She's the one that performed all this stuff. She put all the actors in place. She's the thing that got rolling. She was the voice that got Naboth stoned. But Yah sent the prophet to confront Ahab because he knew that Ahab is the one that worked this whole wicked scenario, this whole wicked scheme behind the scene, using other people to gain advantage. Exactly what this predator spirit does. So the judgment was pronounced on him, but because his wife was a partaker in this evil and went along with this in her husband's evil ways, in wicked ways, and actually hearkened unto him, she was judged as well. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee and will take away thy prosperity and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Because Ahab was a representation. He was established, supposed to be establishing and keeping the kingdom for Yah and keeping it righteous and in order. But again, he totally worked wickedness. So he's made Israel to sin. And of Jezebel also spake Yahweh, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And I just want to add this in here, too. I put this in my note to add this here at this point. But it is troubling to not only hear of, but also have to deal with the attitude of those brothers. And I'm speaking to the brothers who fly under the radar hunting for a wife. And this goes both ways. I know of sisters and women that have tried to put themselves in a position of a righteous Israel, a woman, so there would be a brother to actually take them. And sometimes you can be a little bit more empathetic because they might be in a really tough situation and they're trying to trust in themselves other than actually trust in Yah, but they're actually trying to gain advantage. So anyway, this is talking about the brothers. They fly under the radar and they're actually hunting, pursuing after a wife. We have had a number of brothers over the years which have pursued Gentile women, heathen women, women of other nations through the internet and other avenues, and have, in effect, preyed on these unsuspecting women by taking advantage of the fact that these women lack understanding and knowledge of the word, and these predators have used this advantage to lure these women in the hopes of converting them for the gain of becoming their wives. There is self-motivation here, wrongful evil self. They're actually seeking to conquer this woman, to bring them in submission by using a tactical advantage that these women don't have the knowledge and the understanding. Dealt with it on too many occasions. In most, if not all, these instances, there is ruin and shipwreck, and quite possibly the blood of someone's hands, on someone's hands. All right, going to the Renewed Covenant, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 18. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 15 through 18. All right. Study to show thyself approved unto Yah, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing it, not doing it for personal revelation or interpretation, but rightly dividing it and holding it in righteousness. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. The fruit of profane and vain babblings, the increase of more ungodliness is the result of not shunning profane and vain babblings, and such as the acceptance and solicitation of false doctrines, false belief, and the errors of the truth. All these things, these profane and vain babblings, are constituted in much of this acceptance and a solicitation of false doctrines, meaning people put it out there. And if you hear it, it's just going to increase unto more ungodliness. That's why you need to shun it.
turn around, get the hell out of the AOL or whatever I think the military term is. Profane and vain babblings, perverse disputings, a batting back and forth of words, thoughts, ideologies, and reasonings are all there to entice those that would hear to open up and consider these things and bring the once proponents and refuses and bring the once proponents and refuses of such doctrines, meaning those that were against them at one time and would never hear such things, to actually become advocates. If you have to, if you're shouting over somebody to promote your point, your interpretation of some, it's not only to win them over to plant seeds, it's but to those that are sitting around, because if they have to hear somebody lifting up their voice to support their position, they're actually trying to influence you at the same time. You have to be careful what's going out. They must have a voice and audience to achieve and gain support. So what I mean by shunning profane and vain babblings, if you're in a position, you know the stuff is to be, the best thing you can do is admonish or reprove that brother and make it known that this stuff here will not be supported, right? I mean, right is right. And the word will eat as does a canker. When it what? When it actually gets placed, as of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Simply meaning that once you've allowed the entrance of the words into your ears, these that actually promote profane and vain babblings, once you allow the entrance of these words into your ears and mind and given place to them, they very well can progress in you like a disease as would a cancerous infection. You see how an infection starts small, and if it's not treated or taken care of, it just continues to spread and become more poisonous. Their words are poison. They are a sickening infection and become a huge war to counter and remove from out of your being, and can become that way. It is why we say so often in this ministry, stop eating off of other tables, including the tables that may be found by some people promoting their personal interpretations in the ministry here. And that not only includes listening to people, say, on YouTube or other radio blog talk programs, but also by reading certain books and allowing certain things into your mind and your ears and your spirits. Be careful. I mean, I have a hell of a testimony before I came into the faith of a book that I had picked up because it looked interesting when I was searching for Yah. It was Simple-Minded Faith or Simple-Minded Faith, something like that. Norman Vincent Peale, I still remember the name of the author. And I started to read that book, and I actually had an out-of-body experience when I was about a third of the way through the book, and I knew, man, what the hell was this? And I right away I knew it was from the book. I burnt that thing, and that closed that door. But that's how powerful these influencers are, so you have to be careful what you open yourself up to. All right, verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred? So the ones that are promoting the profane and vain babblings, whose words will eat as a canker. The Paul's already telling Tiffany they have erred from the truth. So that's why you need to shun these things, saying that the resurrection is past already, and a myriad of other doctrines. David is sound, right? Like the David the Messiah is the that's the thing to be believed. And overthrow the faith of some, so be careful what is allowed in your ears. All right, Ezekiel 22, verses 24 through 28. Ezekiel 22, 24 through 28. No, give me one. Alrighty, let me see. Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is conspiracy of her prophets. Okay, now we're Yah's bringing out again through the prophet people in a position to influence other people, that being prophets. That can be extended even greater. In the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey, they have devoured the souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. They left them desolate. But the fact of the matter is, they're Israelites. have a voice. They're speaking to the people. But in turn, as again demonstrating the tendency of a predator or the instinct of a predator, as a roaring lion, and they ravage the prey, they have devoured the souls using certain tactics and implementing certain practices. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, meaning there's a gray area now. They've taken away the purity of the truth and mixed it in with lies, and so that gray area develops, that area of doubt and confusion. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and clean. They haven't proved anything. They're just introducing new ideas or new interpretations of the truth. And they have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. You know them by their fruit. And by the simple fact that they are presenting themselves as Israel and out there amongst the people speaking as Israelites, they have Yah's actually being profaned among them. Her princes in the midst are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood, to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them in untempered mortars, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith Yah, when the Most High hath not spoken again. So they're, what they're doing is actually, well, here, let me go a little bit farther here. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1. Through 3, 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And we're going to build a little bit on what Ezekiel brought out here. So Peter's admonishing the people. He's speaking to the people. He said, there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. It's a given. It's going to happen. You just have to be sober enough and be watching enough to know who these people are. And the way that you can keep yourself safe, of course, first of all, is having a sound, strong relationship with Yah, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and just follow what the doctrines, the mandates, the teachings that are put off, again, put out there by those that Yah has placed in the position of authority in the body. So what are they going to do? Again, what are these false prophets going to do? What are these predators going to do that are seeking to devour the people to gain advantage, notoriety, whatever it may be? Even if there shall be false teachers among you who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying Yahweh that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So what should we consider and be aware of concerning a false prophet? False prophets are those which present false doctrines, false teachings, alternative theories, and ideas. These predators believe that they are being inspired by Yah through their own personal studies and determinations, that they must reveal these things as they have been given their own personal revelations of things that are hidden to others. That's why they have to put them out there, because the rest of us are blind to them and they have not yet been brought out. And they must declare their truth to help set Israel free. See, there's a made-up thing in the mind that they're actually out there doing good when they put no difference between the holy and profane by bringing in their own personal damnable heresies, like denying that Yahshua was born of a virgin. What a most ridiculous idea that, I mean, when I've heard that years ago and heard it lately, so if Yahshua wasn't born of a virgin, meaning that she was woman that was already entered into by a man, that means she inherited all the curses of the man that entered into her naturally, and that means Yahshua was born in sin and shapen in iniquity. I mean, how stupid. But this is the stuff that preys in people's minds, and they're out there trying to promote it, and to actually sit there and give any kind of place to that, we should be set at the defense of the gospel. That's what we should be at all times. Telling others that you do not need to have the Holy Spirit. I'm showing these damnable heresies. Telling others, like IUIC and other things you may have heard, like telling others that you do not need to have the baptism of the Ruach HaKodesh to actually be saved, is actually, and even more subtly implying that, don't even bother to seek after. What's the big deal? What if you try one time and you don't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, this Spirit is already so doubt in your heart. And so what that's going to do is when you, if you do seek to go after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. It's going to be like, oh, well, I really don't need it to be saved. I just want to get into the kingdom, so why pursue after? This is how dangerous this stuff is. On 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 2, continuing on, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. How do you know they're pernicious? By reason of the whom the way of truth it shall be evil spoken of. Again, by introduction of falsehoods, of lies, of using replacement ideology of what the truth actually is, by adding to or removing, and Yah pronounced judgment on the Old and New Testament about doing such things. All right, verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And again, by what Paul or Peter's talking about here, by making merchandise, they're going to use you, they're going to use you, abuse you, and leave you in utter ruin, and also to take advantage of you by adding you possibly to their numbers and potential followers of those which agree with such nonsense. If you know what I'm, as long as they can gain you some way. If not to gain you, it might leave you in such a spiritual state of despair that the confusion itself may take you out on your own. But the whole idea is to try to get you, win you over to their side, whatever it may be, whatever it could be. And there can be so many different things that can be introduced as falsehoods. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 through 19. It says, a naughty person, or a person that is destructive or without profit, that's what naughty means, a wicked man walketh, he has a path and intent with a forward mouth. All right, we're going to break down a few of these words to give a better idea of what is being spoken about here. All right, the word naughty, as in a naughty person. Again, it's the Hebrew 1100, and it's from the Strong's. This is what I got, Brother Ugly. It's from the Hebrew 1097 and 3276, but it means without profit. This naughty person has no profit, can't profit you at all, is worthless, by extension destructive. I guess that's the main thing I wanted to bring out. This naughty person has a destructive nature. This predator has this destructive nature working in them. And what it means by without profit, well, think about it. This naughty person, again, meaning without profit, what do they add to the body positively? Are they active in deliverance with others and themselves? Do they lay hands on, because we all begin measure of healing, measure of gift of healing. Do they lay hands on for healing? Do they promote a positive, united atmosphere to keep the body unified? Do they tend to tear down the work? So these are questions you can ask yourself. Is this somebody that's practicing being naughty, or somebody that's exhibiting that they're not profitable? But yet this wicked man walks with the path and intent of a froward mouth. And the word froward in the Brown's Driver is the Hebrew 61:43. It means distortion or crookedness. So they're not clear. They're distorted. Their ways, their paths are crooked. They're not true. They're not straight. They veer left and right. And they kind of leave people like, what in the world's going on? They're not out there in purity, if I can use that. Okay, I got to break this down. The word, again, it was the Hebrew 61:43. It's from the Hebrew 61:41, further demonstrating what a froward person is, someone with a froward mouth, somebody that speaks distortion and crookedness. And the Greek, or the Hebrew 61:41, still in the Brown Driver, it means distorted, hence false, crooked or perverse. So we have a destructive person without a non-profitable person, a wicked man with a mouth that speaks falsehoods, that's crooked, speaks distortion. And again, the Greek 60 or the Hebrew 6140, I'm getting ahead of myself. Again, breaking down from the 6141 is this is the Brown Driver Briggs, Brother Ugly. So I went from Brown Driver to Strong's back to Brown Driver again. Akosh, it means to be perverse, twist, pervert, make crooked, prove perverse, declare perverse, to be crooked, to twist, distort, pervert, make crooked. That's what it's trying to get to. So again, there's something working in this naughty person's, this destructive person's mouth as he walks his path. He's got purpose and agenda. He's got something going on there. All right, going on to verse 13. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Now, these, you have to understand, these displays are designed to gain your undivided attention. These displays of theatrics are there to place all the emphasis on the one demonstrating these expressions. Now, of course, how many people you heard, you know, speak with their feet? They may stamp them and allow disapproval or a way to get your attention, like they don't agree with what's being said or promoted, or showing their adamant position to something as being unmovable. You know, they may kick the dirt in disgust. These are all something that are displays of how these people gain your attention, right? They use their whole body, not just their mouth speaking forward perverse things, but also employing the whole body, right? They may kick the dirt to emphasize disgust or disagreement, etc. In teaching with their fingers, they may wag the forefinger. They may wave their arms. They may pound lightly on surfaces. They may tap stuff. Tap surface, you know, like somebody with their finger, and they're emphasizing the point. This is another way to get you to pay attention to what they're saying. This is how subtle this stuff happens. Verse 14, forwardness again, that distortion, that falsehood, it's already in his heart. He's doing the things out of the abundance of the heart. The sister, this brother, he devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. And man, I'll tell you, this is usually the end of this type of predator spirit. There's some brouhaha always erupting someplace amongst the sisters. You know, the sister, every time she enters a new area, we get discord. There's things happening on simply because if people are shot down, they can't get their way. But they're also trying to get attention through this method, if you understand what I'm saying. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall it be broken without remedy. And again, going on. These six things does Yahweh hate. So this is coming right on the heels of what he's talking about, a naughty person, a wicked person who has intentions behind the path that they walk, speaking with their mouth and their body language. These six things does Yahweh hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Again, here it comes again, sowing discord. Another way to identify and be aware and be sober to people that do that a lot, right? Just can't seem to get along with anybody. Proverbs chapter 1. We're just about done. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 19, Proverbs 1, 7 through 19. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of the father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Here's the admonition. My son, if sinners entice thee, if they lure thee in, if they try to take advantage of you, gain advantage, a foothold in your ear, in your life, consent thou not. If they say, come with us. Man, we got something tasty to tell you. Hey, we want to show you a different way. Man, you got to hear what we have to say. I mean, it's just my opinion, but look, I got something I think is very important for you to hear. It'd be worth your time. Let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. This is exactly the character of a predator. They're going to try to seek out and take out the weakest link, those that are most unsuspecting. A lot of times those are just coming into the faith, and Yah's awakened. I'll tell you what, I would not want to be that person in the day of judgment. That is a fearful thing, taking advantage, just waiting at the door to pounce on these people so you can promote your own ideology, your own opinions. Oh boy. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. They're going to take you with them. That's the whole thing. They want you to join them. We shall find all precious substance. They're going to promise you all kinds of... We shall fill our houses with spoil, man. After you hear this, boy, you latch onto this. Man, you can accept this reason, this opinion. You're going to be that much better off, boy. You're going to build up more treasures in heaven. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have... Come on, let's get in this together, right? Come on. Hey, I got a brother over here. He thinks the same thing. I talked to the sister over here. You know, that she knew, her and I were talking, and we had the same opinion about something. And come on, you know, it's we can walk together. We agree. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. That's what a predator does. They want to shed, make blood. They want to pounce on their prey. They want to immobilize them, make ruin of them. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. If they wait, They lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy to gain. There's got to be something in it which take away the life of the owners thereof. And who is going to give an account in the day of judgment for doing such that? All right, we're getting near the end here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 6, 1 through 6. And Paul writes to Timothy, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So here Paul is giving Timothy some sound direction, some encouragement, things to keep in order, right? This is the right order. This is the things that we need to keep established in the assembly, in the ministry. For what reason? That the name of Yah and his doctrine be not blasphemed. I mean, there's a certain motivation behind Paul telling Timothy this. And this is a protocol you need to keep reminding the people that needs to be established. Walk in this, right? You know, now a master is someone which rules over another. So we understand the protocol here, right? You got the master, the servant. Now it straightway has those which have been given rule over the assembly and charged with a very important and dire task of seeing to it that Yahweh and his set-apart truth is not misrepresented and be found to be and not to be found unedifying to those that are within, what in the world, and not, let me try this again. Some of my typing, I get going so fast. They have the very important and dire task of seeing to it that Yahweh and his set-apart truth is not misrepresented and to be found to be unedifying to those that are within and those who Yahweh may be bringing. So there has to be, you know, who's are appointed the Most High because they understand the importance of it, of actually speaking to the people and the judgment that comes if they teach and do such things as... would allow Yah's name to be in his doctrine be blasphemed. So there's order here. There's some things. I hope that made sense, man. Sometimes I just keep going too fast. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, and everybody in this ministry, you know them that labor amongst you, that are in positions to teach and preach, they are definitely all believing rulers over the assembly. Let them not despise them. Because they've been given that position for your edification, for your learning, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, other than what the ones that are the believing masters that are set up over you, and they don't consent to wholesome words, those things that keep the unity and the bonds of the Spirit together tight, if they're teaching anything otherwise, and I think Pastor brought it up too on the live feed he did on YouTube about let them be accursed. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof come with envy, strife, railings, evil surmise, and you get a lot of this in the discords. And one of the big reasons that men engage in these behaviors is simply to get advantage of over those that would hear them. Again, they want to raise a fuss so they can be identified. They may be identified wrong, but they're going to keep exhibiting this behavior until somebody finally takes up notice and they can be vindicated. And then they can be noticed and right. It's all subtle tactics. And a lot of times people don't have any idea what they're actually doing or operating in this predator spirit. Perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is guiding some from such, withdraw yourself. Again, avoid them. Withdraw yourself. Shun profane babblings. How many times do you see the admonition? So if you feel threatened about anything, you know, I'm sure that absolutely, you know, positive that the sisters that listen to the sisters, Sister Ashley and Mother Jennifer speaking about what I'm talking about here tonight, you know, sisters having brothers come up to them and start expounding on them, their own truths, their ideas, especially when they got husbands. Man, I don't care who you think you're going to offend. If I'm up here and I'm sitting down with you privately and I start trying to, me an elder, and I start trying to introduce to you some crazy off the wall like you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit or, you know, to be saved or, you know, David is the Messiah, man, I would get up and run away as fast as you could. Don't worry about offending me or anything else. This is about saving yourself. And you, I would take it right to the authority. Look, hey, Elder Becker, he's over here. He just told me the craziest shit you ever heard. He's actually trying to, man, I'll tell you what, we need to cut off occasion them that actually desire to get occasion with somebody else. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 9. I might have to rush. I didn't know it was going to go 2 hours. Wow. This know also in the last days perilous time shall come. For what? What are men going to be? They're going to be lovers of their own selves. It's all only going to be about me, myself, and I. And as this leads off the list, these are all the characteristics that these men that are lovers of their own self are going to display. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, all about their own selfish selves to get their own tactical advantage and gain, however they can get it. Without natural affection, truth speakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that, now they can exhibit every one of these, no, but people that are in love with their own selves oftentimes carry a lot of these traits. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of Yah. They're thinking about their own self, their own fleshly satisfaction. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, again, do what? The admonition is to turn away. They're trying to gain advantage of you by their own selfish, self-serving self. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lust. Ever learning, I mean reading many books, listening to many videos, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, tells you their condition. They resist the truth, the whole truth, the truth that's being promoted and put out there and spoken about those, again, that are in positions to speak things and anointed and raised up. They're going to resist this in favor of what? Promote their own self-serving doctrines and tactics and ideas and opinions. But they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as there also was. It's going to be made known, spread amongst the body. Hey, you watch so-and-so. Be careful of so-and-so. I mean, I'll tell you right here, I'll do it openly, that many times, oftentimes, and especially during the feast, there's certain brethren that I am careful about, right? That I see them go up and actually pull aside or get off in a corner speaking to other brothers, and I'm not sure what they're speaking about, what their point is, but I'm very preventative about things. So I'll actually go to the one that they're talking, hey, brother, can I talk to you for a minute? Right? Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt your time, but I really need to speak to this brother. And I'll just pull them aside, right? I'll tell them, hey, brother, I just meant to tell you earlier, whatever the case may be, you know, just be careful of a lot of stuff that I know you're new here and you're going to meet a lot of people. So, you know, and, you know, just enjoy the fellowship, but just be careful what goes into your ears, okay? You know, just stay with what you heard. Just kind of an admonishment and a warning, all right? So, and I believe me, I'll take that to judgment that I may be doing something that is wrong, but I don't believe so. It's just, I guess it's just an discerning in the spirit or whatever you want to call it. But all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Again, this is Paul's admonishment to Corinth. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of Yahweh HaMashiach, our Master Jesus the Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's what keeps us our strength. That's why Straightway Ministries, under the leadership, the unwavering leadership of Pastor Dow, our shepherd, can walk with no divisions amongst us, can be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment, because we have that determination to keep it that way. Are there going to be tares amongst us? Yes, that was already prophesied. Jesus already said there shall be tares, but the servants know who they are. And it's up to the servants to warn those that are unsuspecting who the tares are. And we do that. We will do that. Such as, you know, if I might pull you aside and mention something to you. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Meaning that people started speaking their own thing, caused divisions, caused discord, came in their own personal judgments, and this is the end result, contentions. And finishing on Deuteronomy 4, 1 through 2, and Revelation 22, 18 and 19. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I have taught you, teach you, for to do them, that you may live and go and possess the land which Yahweh the Elohim of your fathers gives. So for Moshe is expounding, reminding Israel, you stay focused on these things. Don't go to the left, don't go to the right. Don't allow yourself to be persuaded otherwise. Hearken unto me, Israel, unto these statutes and unto these judgments which were given to us by the Most High and the ones that your fathers have passed down to you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you. So what's already been set, so to speak, in stone, that's what you keep in your heart. Revelation 22:18 through and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, Yah shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, Yah shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. This isn't a threat. This is a promise. And especially when you hear this crazy off the wall, you already know there's people that are introducing these crazy ideas, these crazy opinions, these falsehoods, these differences of beliefs. Many times they're attached to actual removing something that's in the Word and adding something to in its place to make it sound better, more juicy. And right away you already know what manner of person you're dealing with. That's a predator. So what have you been admonished to in this whole study? Get out of the AO. Flee, shun, avoid, all the other verbs that have been written about. But anyway, saints, that's a conclusion to the study. I really hope that I made my point, you know, that just to be sober, be aware, be careful, and guard your own souls. Have a vengeance for your own souls. And I will leave you with this. Now, we've been required to study to show ourselves approved, which we need to do. You need to get the word in you. More so when it's spoken of, you can quickly pick it up, or if something happens or an event or circumstance, that you can apply what you know that's in your heart to the situation. But, you know, people study, they come up with certain things that may have not been spoken about yet. Maybe the time isn't there. You may be right. What you're getting and what you're studying may be right, but shelf it. Put it on the table. If it never comes up, then it never comes up. If Yah intends for whatever it is, he's going to put it in the heart and the mind of those that have been given the position to teach and preach that timing to bring it up and introduce them to Israel. And that's what you wait for. I've had this conversation with too many brothers. Just they come up with stuff. I've actually heard stuff. And I know the intent of their heart. They're not trying to subdue anybody. They're not trying to take advantage of anybody. They just they have a question about what they were reading in the Word. And I just tell them, look, brother, you go ahead, do your study, but you keep it to yourself. And if the time Yah opens up a door for it and it's introduced and it's being taught in this ministry, then it's the time to go ahead and maybe speak up. But don't overstep your bounds, because it's going to might cause you a whole lot of heartache, and you're going to find yourself in a place you really don't want to find yourself. So with that, I hope that this study brought you some learning admonition. I mean to be too harsh, but it's just about safeguarding your souls, okay? And again, if you ever come across this, you know, we're brethren. So, you still treat on one another with honor and respect as long as it's given to you, okay? And, don't get a case of offense or anything like that at somebody may hear a name drop or something because, you know, whatever the case may be. So, anyway, with that, bless you all. I hope you have a blessed week again. Hope you're preparing your hearts and minds in your travels for the coming Passover, and are we still on the air? What in the world? And all right, hallelujah. And pray for one another while it's yet day, you know, and be helpers one another in the Most High, and definitely lift up prayers for the shepherds and, you know, all those that are in leadership. So, hey, y'all be blessed. You have a great week. All right, much shalom. The King is coming.